Hello, welcome to Critics Talk. My name is Jacob Davis, and I'm here with Doreen Seg, the festival producer of Shakespeare 400. And did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
All right, very good. So, Shakespeare 400, it's a big festival happening in Chicago all year. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of Shakespeare events.
Yes, over 850 events, actually, across 2016.
And some of these are going to be going on for months. Some of these will just be here for one day at a time, and it's incorporating a huge number of different sorts of artistic venues. We've got theater as well as
opera, dance, exhibition. The libraries are involved. We have cuisine. We have beer, gaming, everything you can think of.
Cuisine and beer.
We do.
That's wonderful. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what exactly a festival producer does? And you're based out of Seattle, primarily, is that correct?
No, I'm based in Chicago. I came over from Seattle and have split my time there over the last few years, but I'm now fully in Chicago and working on this massive project. I don't think I could be doing that from afar.
No. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you've done for this festival and what you normally do as an event producer, because that's the sort of behind-the-scenes person who the audience doesn't always have a whole lot of interaction with directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been working with Barbara Gaines, CST's artistic director, and Chris Henderson, CST's executive director, for a couple years now, sort of shaping what this celebration would be. 2016 is the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's legacy, of his passing in 1616. And across the world, these celebrations are being planned. I think Chicago has what I believe to be the largest in 2016. We have an incredible banding of institutions and artists from around the world doing something massive all year. Mm-hmm. So the idea for a while has been to mark this year in some way. We spent some time looking at to what degree, to what was the scale and scope of the festival in 2016, mm-hmm. and quickly realized that it would be best served by bringing together all of these cultural institutions and by reflecting Chicago. So my work has really been in stewarding partnerships with Chicago's institutions, in curating the programming from around the world, bringing in productions in languages spoken by Chicagoans, reflective of conversations that are happening today, building bridges between our partners. It's been one of my favorite parts of the job is talking to our partner organizations and the artists and seeing what's exciting to them and helping them link to another partner so that we get something really special in 2016, that you're seeing all of Chicago sort of come together underneath this festival. And that's really what my job has been. It's a lot of organizing and connections and paperwork, and it's a lot of fun. It's really exciting.
And it is something that would have to be planned years in advance, not only to get all of these institutions talking to each other, but because several of these institutions, even working on their own, have to plan things out year in advance. I'm thinking specifically of the Lyric Opera, which is going to be bringing in the Metz production of Gounod's Romeo and Juliet, I believe, at the end of February.
That's right. So over the past couple years, talking to these partner organizations about what was exciting to them, what they've been planning, how we can bring those together and expand on that, how we can eventize around that, and plan a whole year of cultural activities and events for Chicago.
It must be exciting to be able to work with all of these people. Now, in the past, you have done work with similar festivals, but perhaps not, well, maybe on this sort of scale, but also working in film, working out of Seattle. You were involved with something called the Next 50.
Yes, the Next 50 was a six-month celebration in Seattle, marking the 50th anniversary of the 1962 Seattle World's Fair. So it was, I worked on artistic programming to activate that campus in the six-month period. But Shakespeare for 100 Chicago is the largest thing that I've been mm-hmm. able to work on. So not at the scale, but a similar sort of citywide celebration.
Well, Chicago Shakespeare sounds like one of the largest events of these types, period.
It's true.
So, I'm going to get into a little bit more about Chicago Shakespeare Theater's own productions coming up in a little bit, but the Theater on Navy Pier is also going to be hosting, as you said, a large number of events coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first ones that will be coming through is Measure for Measure in Russian.
That's right. It's a collaboration between Cheek by Jowl and the Pushkin Theater in Moscow, directed by Declan Donnellan, and it's a contemporary Russian interpretation of this hefty Shakespeare play.
A problem play, some people say.
Some people say. I think what they've done with it is really, really beautiful, really striking. It is a reflection on Russian society, conversations that are happening in Russia. The Cheek by Jowl is an incredibly respected, well-known organization that's toured around the world that performs in English, French, and Russian. And this is their first production with the Pushkin Theater in Moscow. And we're really, really excited to be able to bring it to the U.S.
And this production is going to be running from January 27 to the 31st. And I remember about a year ago, Chicago Shakespeare brought in another international production, Dunsinane, mm-hmm. which I admired very much. And I was wondering what sort of vetting process you use to determine how productions are selected to come to Navy Pier.
Yeah, so Chicago Shakespeare has a world stage series, and in any one season, anything between 2 and 8 international shows will come in to Chicago. And really, it's the best, most exciting, most innovative productions that are out there. It's in 2016, we're very specifically focusing on the Shakespeare work and international interpretations of Shakespeare. But in every season, Chicago Shakespeare really tries to reach out to all corners of the world and pull in the things that Chicagoans might not be able to experience otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So how did you become aware of this production? Is that something that the professional Shakespeare world is constantly giving each other updates on?
I'd say that there is a lot of there's a good amount of internal conversation about, I saw this show, you should go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But between Barbara, Chris, and myself, oftentimes it's really about traveling and going to festivals and going to see these productions in other places. And if they're striking or moving or generating excitement in that community, that's usually a sign that it's worth looking at, worth bringing into Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds very interesting, and of course, this is only the first of many. Shortly after, we'll be getting a Belarusian production of King Lear.
Yes, that's right. And Belarus Free Theater has been at Chicago Shakespeare twice before. Their production of King Lear was commissioned by Shakespeare's Globe and premiered at the 2012 London Olympiad, Cultural Olympiad. What they've done with it is really, really beautiful. The Belarus Free Theater is very politically outspoken. Many of them are banned from performing in their own country. And they've taken King Lear and infused it with their sort of signature contemporary commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shakespeare, even despite being a single person, is an enormous topic in himself. Did you pick particular shows to focus on? Because just going through the events, I see a few adaptations, Romeo and Juliet, Othello, Twelfth Night, that come up over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say that we were really looking for the most interesting and diverse range of interpretations. And sometimes that comes out in a series of interpretations on the same title. Like, we will have we'll have our Othello running at the same time as the Hamburg Ballet's Othello, when the Kew Brothers' Othello, the remix, is happening. We get really excited about the juxtaposition of those very different interpretations happening at the same time. And also, we wanted to be able to explore the canon in a way that was interesting. Mm-hmm. So, there are multiple interpretations on the same title. There are some obscure titles that many people don't produce. We are excited. We were mostly excited about what that was saying about the production or Shakespeare. And then we have a lot of sort of enrichment. We have a lot of thought-provoking lectures, discussions. We have a scholarly blog that's going to be responding to, I'm sure you were going to ask that soon, it was Shakespeare, all of the events happening in Shakespeare for 100 Chicago, so that you're able to get a multifaceted view on Shakespeare and his relevance today.
They must be absolutely thrilled about that, the Shakespeare academics.
Yes, we're really excited, too. We have an incredible group of people from 10 Chicago universities, these scholars who will be attending each performance or event, and then putting out a scholarly response that anybody around the world can read. So it's also giving people outside of Chicago a way to participate in the festival all year long.
And finally, making some of those essays applicable. We can actually point to an example.
That's right.
So, speaking of Othello, Chicago Shakespeare, of course, is used to coming up with new ways of interpreting these shows. So, since you've been working very closely with the artistic management, could you tell me a little bit about the artistic process of that production? It obviously won't actually open for a few months still. And what sort of thinking often goes on to picking a show?
Well, I'd say that the director of the production, Jonathan Munby, is an acclaimed British director. He just finished productions at the Royal Shakespeare Company at Shakespeare's Globe. He'll actually be directing, or he has directed the production of Merchant of Venice starring Jonathan Pryce that will be part of Shakespeare 400 as well, that will come in August. He has the vision for Othello, of putting it in contemporary society, in exploring the themes in Othello with a contemporary lens.
So this is an idea that was pitched to you by a director.
Well, I think in conversation with Barbara Gaines in particular, the director sort of forms what concept is exciting, what perspective on the Shakespeare play makes sense for this moment, for the season, and really that's Barbara's work, along with our producing and artistic team, in guiding them through that vision.
I mention it just because I know that a non-Shakespeare show, CST, did recently ride the Cyclone, was largely an event that had been driven by that director's vision.
Yes, and also that all of our new works are done in close collaboration with our creative producer Rick Boynton, and so it's certainly Rachel Rockwell's vision for the execution, but Rick had a strong hand in the development of that process.
So another event is coming up that is one of Chicago Shakespeare's own productions is going to be Tug of War, Foreign Fire and Civil Strife. And why don't you summarize what the idea of that is?
Well, we actually had such a lovely presentation by Barbara this morning to the staff, talking about her vision for the show. So our artistic director, Barbara Gaines, is putting together this incredibly epic history cycle across two seasons, across all of Shakespeare 400. It's six plays in two parts. Mm-hmm. Each part's about 6 hours. There'll be marathon theatrical events. And we'll examine these famous, or Shakespeare's famous warriors and monarchs, and the wars that they fought, both foreign and civil. And from what she was telling us this morning, really from the lens of the common man, right? That these are everyday people put into positions and exploring the mm-hmm. politics of war and struggle. I think that there are some beautiful design gestures. I think that it's going to be a really signature experience for the audience, not only that it's a marathon event, but also the way that Barbara's weaving these stories together has a lot of poetry and a lot of symbolism built into them.
One of the things that interested me about this idea is that a lot of the other festival events focus, as I said, on the plays that people immediately think of when they think of Shakespeare, but Tug of War starts off with Edward III and then largely consists of the Henry VI mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. plays. And I was wondering why to focus on those.
Well, I think that would be a question for Barbara in particular. I think that she was really captivated by Edward III, and that she also, in reading it to prepare, reading through all of the history plays, was... there's debate about whether Edward III was written by Shakespeare or how much of it was written by Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. I mean, Barbara was reading through these scenes and finding a lot of parallel language used, and could see the Shakespeare in those moments and really wanted to pull those out and pull them into the other shows. So I think that also the story that she wanted to tell with Edward III and examining the foreign wars in the first part of Tug of War was one of the reasons why she pulled it in as well.
Mm-hmm. And it is the other thing that interests me is, as you said, this is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's the sort of thing that people can either get really nervous about or get really excited about. Recently in Chicago, we have had some very well-received marathon productions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recently attended All Our Tragic and absolutely adored it. And yes, a 12-hour play can be daunting, but mm-hmm. when it's well-crafted, it can be spectacular. And I think that, a 6-hour play can be daunting, but with the right guidance and the mm-hmm. right theme, and I think that it can be something really signature that you will look back on often. It lives in your mind and lives in your heart in a specific way because you spend a focused period of time with it.
It creates a big impact, and it interests me how so many contemporary theater productions seem to be either at one extreme or the other, 90 minutes or 9 hours.
Yeah.
But I think that also reflects the way that people interact with other forms of media now.
I think that's right. I think that I think that part of it is, rather than dictating the amount of time, really looking at what story needs to be told and how much time you need to spend with it. And so we're seeing that some shows give you what you need in 90 minutes, they don't need to go longer because they don't need to, right? And sometimes you need to tackle the foreign wars of Shakespeare's history plays in 6 hours because you want to give yourself the time to digest and explore those. It is interesting.
So definitely take the time this year to binge on Shakespeare. All right. So we're very excited about these productions coming up. So why don't I broaden it out a little bit more now to talk about why people are continually drawn to Shakespeare, since this must be a question that you probably have an entire marketing division devoted to exploring.
Well, I think that the stories are timeless. We all see ourselves in these stories. They were written 400 years ago, 450 years ago, and they continue to be produced and they continue to be read and taught because the language is beautiful and because we understand those emotions, right? Shakespeare understood people and human dynamics, those plays are reinterpreted and revisited and translated because those dynamics stay the same, because those relationships and how you feel about the people in your world and how you feel about the world that basic structure is so well understood and well crafted. adopted that people can't stop drawing from it.
And there's always something that you can find in it. Measure for Measure and King Lear are both largely about what makes authority legitimate, I would say. And that's a question that a lot of Chicagoans have been grappling with recently.
That's right.
So, lastly, I think I'm going to ask you a little bit about the kind of outreach that the Shakespeare 400 Festival has been doing with the vast number of people of the Chicago area.
Yeah, so we're actually about to publish a really beautiful catalog for the festival. Just put it to print, and it's a lovely capturing of all that's going to happen across the city. Throughout the year, you know, 850 events will take place. 1,000 artists will come in from around the world, and both in print and on the website, Chicagoans will be able to find a way to interact with the festival. One of the main goals of it has always been to have something for everybody, or to reflect as many Chicagoans as possible in the programming, which is why we went into strands like cuisine and gaming and working with all of our cultural partners, so that we have dance and opera and music and hip hop and theater and an exhibition, and so. I think that people can sign up on the website to receive the newsletter, and there'll be a festival digest that comes out, giving people snapshots of what's happening in the upcoming weeks. Social media will be a way that people can interact with the festival, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and getting the festival catalog and coming in to all of the events. I think that there will be events happening all across the city in the year, so we hope that people come out to as many as possible.
Is there any other event I haven't mentioned yet that you're particularly excited about? Or, I know you can't pick a favorite.
It's a good question. I'm excited about so many of these productions coming from around the world. It's interesting. I think toward the end of the year, one of the productions that we're going to be bringing in is it's by a company called Spy Monkey, and it's The Complete Deaths, and it's all 75 onstage deaths of Shakespeare's plays performed in a 90-minute production. And I'm so intrigued by that one. They haven't built it yet. It's premiering in May in the UK. But we are really excited about that company and that creative team, and I think that that's one that I'm particularly looking forward to. I'm really excited about Tug of War. I'm really excited about the Hamburg Ballet at the Harris Theater. The Incomplete Works project by Force and Entertainment that's happening at MCA, the concerts that Muti's conducting in April at the CSO, Yo-Yo Ma will be with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra as well in June. There's like a plethora of exciting activity. I don't think I'll be doing much else in 2016. And I'm really excited about the complete works that we're doing with all the chefs in Chicago. I think that that will be another fun way to marry two art forms that Chicagoans love.
Well, it certainly sounds like a very full year. Doreen Sake, thank you so much for sitting down to talk with me.
It's my pleasure.
The Shakespeare 400 Festival.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you at the theater.